Hello, and welcome to Hey, I Loved That Movie, the podcast where we rewatch the films we loved when we were younger to see if they still hold up. I'm Dan.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Helena.
And for this episode, we watched Blade. Techno music. You guys' history with this? Because I had seen the blood shower scene and Blade Trinity.
Okay.
that's all I'd seen of Blade. We watched Blade Trinity together. It was bad.
Yeah. I watched... Blade's a pretty bad franchise, but like in a good way. I've watched this a lot. I watched this a couple times as a kid, and then I watched Blade 2 and Trinity more.
Mm.
So I definitely remembered watching this film, but I'd definitely seen... I remember... So, it's weird. I remember being like, oh, I loved the first Blade. So I'd like, oh, watch the second and third. But I didn't really ever actually remember watching the first Blade. Rewatching it, I definitely had flashbacks. But yeah. So I'd seen it. I liked it.
It's a campy vampire movie. I've definitely seen Blade 2, and I think Blade Trinity... multiple times, and this I've definitely seen Blade but not paid attention to it. Like, I remembered parts of it,
yeah,
but I've definitely not like properly watched Blade 1 ever before.
It's like titular cool vampire movie.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching this.
I had such fun watching this. Oh, Wesley Snipes, man, like it,
like considering you know, in by Blade Trinity, he'd given up caring. By this one, you can see why they fucking chose him. He's, like, so good in this role.
This is, like, a great campy vampire movie that isn't bright and colourful.
Yeah.
Because it's so stupid.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's got that good level of self-awareness where they're, like, for a lot of it, they're, like, this is dumb. And the continual references to, like, don't believe everything you watch in the movies.
Yeah,
vampires don't do this, this, and this.
His dialogue is hilarious.
The dialogue is dreadful.
And it's got that Matrix sheen, that, like, everything's techno.
Techno,
cool.
There's long leathers.
Yeah, even though it's pre-Matrix. The Matrix was inspired by Blade.
It's that 90s vibe, though, that, like, 90s... Yeah. The coolest things in the world is big leather jackets and very small sunglasses.
And that's why it's a surprise that Underworld didn't come out till later.
it's got this like dirty Berlin kind of chic vibe to it, like real rave. Obviously there is an actual vampire rave in it.
Bergheim vibe.
But yeah.
Like, you know, so we're introduced to very first scenes is like random character who is horny, wants to sleep with person. Person is a vampire, tricks him into a sort of maybe the worst smelling room I can think of.
Smells worse than the set of Underworld.
Yeah. So tricks him into a secret vampire rave, which is
in a abattoir.
Hidden back room. In an abattoir. I can't think of anything worse than a nightclub in the back of a slaughterhouse.
What if they've then hooked up blood to the sprinkler system?
Yeah, no, that's the only way it could be worse. And it absolutely
well,
is
have
worse.
I got news for you?
Yeah. But do you know what's really funny? That's just Bergheim. That's just a Bergheim party. They didn't actually film anything. They didn't actually plan anything there. That's just what they do. This is what they do. But yeah, they open the fucking sprinklers and it's just blood.
Just spray blood down all on
it. And it's at that point that the bloke realizes he's fucked up by following this vampire.
Yeah.
Who is wearing, like, considering like the costume is pretty solid throughout all of this, the worst wig?
Uh-huh.
She looks dreadful. Everyone else looks pretty good. I mean, until they're animated, but that's beside the point.
We'll get the when this film goes off the rails. Because you think this film can't go off the rails. It does.
It finds a way.
It finds a way to go off the rails.
Yeah, it's not really like it starts on the rails.
No, it's insane from the get-go. Like, he just starts shooting vampires and they turn to skeletons. Yeah. He has the blade from Blade and he uses that to chop up vampires too.
Oh, that's why it's called Blade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a Simpsons bit where they're going through like a museum and it's the blade from Blade. Yeah. Oh, and he's got like a boomerang thing made of blades that he throws as well and just slices through people.
He's got a whole collection of weapons.
Yeah, I mean, he has an armory.
Yeah.
But he only uses them once. Each one gets used once and then he moves on to a different cool
he
weapon.
He likes the automatic silver assault
rifle.
Oh, yeah,
the SMGs, yeah. Blade does not like to reload. That's what we should take from this.
The guns they reuse, but like the other cool weapons, like the essential boomerang.
Yeah, he uses that a couple of times.
I also like the vampire cheese wire.
Yeah, he uses the cheese wire at like twice.
Doesn't he remove that guy's arms twice?
Yeah. There's the little like bits that if it's the wrong person holding his sword and they don't press a button, it like shoots extra little blades out.
Yeah,
to
just
slice
explodes
their hands.
The hands. Yeah, fuck, it's dumb.
Oh, but yeah, but it's kind of funny.
It's cool.
Dumb, but it fucking
it's like
rules.
It's like it's that vibe of like, oh, that's cool, and then you think about it, you go, ah, it's dumb.
It's dumb, so, but in the moment, who cares?
Yeah, you're like, oh, that's cool, but like, ah. Oh, so stupid.
I shared this off pod, but I wanted to bring it up again just because it's right at the start of the movie when he kill like one of them or something and he just goes yes but does the ka-ching kind of hand gesture. Just that's all I could think about for like, the next 5 minutes was ka-ching from CBBC.
Yeah, we need to do it. We're doing a bonus episode on that at some point. We have to.
I remember Rude Boy like it was yesterday.
Oh, God.
I don't think I've ever seen this show.
Yeah, getting flashbacks.
You missed out. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
No, it was just on a lot.
It was on a lot. So much.
I think that is the main kind of thing for kids' TV. Is it's just on. Yeah,
it's on.
You're going to watch it.
Yeah.
I could not tell you how many times I've seen the same episodes of Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah. But yeah, so he kills all the vampires at the nightclub.
Yeah, he burns the main one, who then gets taken to a morgue because he's not properly dead. And then the burnt up vampire starts, like, he kills one guy and bites the other woman who becomes a main character. And then the police show up and start shooting Blade. And his exact line is, motherfucker, you out of your damn mind?
Yeah, it's so goofy. This film is so goofy in how much it takes itself seriously.
Yeah.
Also, whenever it's not Wesley Snipes doing a one-liner, everyone is mumbling in this film.
Oh, yeah.
I had to turn the sound up and down on this more than any other film I've seen I was like, do I could put subtitles on and just give up on trying to hear the people and have them mute, because once it's a fight scene, like,
it's loud.
You're waking them. Yeah, it's intense.
It's 90s grit, this film.
Yeah.
And yeah, part of that is everyone mumbled constantly.
No, 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 no.
No, you don't know. You don't know who you're dealing with. You're also dead. What? You're also dead. Oh, man.
Get flashbacks of Blade with
Blade's
a very... Blade's mum. We don't know it's Blade's mum at the time, do we?
I mean,
it's pretty fucking obvious.
Yeah. I think that might have been one of the times where I didn't turn the volume up because I was like, fuck it. I'll work it out later.
But it's a memory of Blade being pulled away from his mum when he is born because she got bit by a vampire.
Yeah.
So she got bit. Would she get bit by pregnant? While pregnant?
While pregnant. Yeah, she was literally like, because he's then C-sectioned out of there.
He's removed.
Yeah.
And he remembers his own caesarean.
Yep.
Weird.
Vampire memory, yeah.
Vampire memory. And then from his timeline, he's like a vampire but doesn't have any... So Blade is cool daywalker vampire.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any of the weaknesses of being a vampire.
Except the thirst.
No, but he does age like a human, though.
Yeah, apart from the bloodthirst. Well, they needed him to age.
Which one could argue is a bit of a downside, Michael?
It's quite a downside, but like he's dealing with it with a serum. We won't tell you what's in the serum or where he gets it from. But the serum.
His colleague makes it.
No, because he goes to collect it from someone else.
Yeah, he gets some of the ingredients for it. He goes garlic shopping.
Yeah. I don't know what's in the syrup.
I thought Whistler.
I think no, Whistler makes it, but he helps get he gets the ingredients from some other guy.
I thought the essence, we see him buying essence of garlic, but I thought that was for his mace. His vampire mace.
Yeah.
That's for his anti-mouth spray.
I did really like that, like, Chekhov's gun of the mouth spray being first used on a non-vampire and then being like, what the fuck, is that garlic?
The dumb anti-vampire tools are great.
Yeah. I love that it is, like, they have really just picked and chosen whatever they wanted for the vampire lore and been like, nah, the rest of it's bullshit.
He's like, yeah, crosses and running water don't work. Don't believe what you see in the movies.
But garlic.
They're allergic to garlic and silver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then anticoagulants, too, do the opposite and make them explode.
Yeah, it makes too much blood.
Yeah.
And the anticoagulant stuff really tickled me. Because
she's a blood expert, isn't she? She's not just like a doctor.
She's a hematologist.
Yeah, hematologist, phlebotomist. Did phlebotomists just take blood?
No, they make green.
No, those are called vampires. she's a hematologist. She's a blood expert.
Yeah.
So she's like, I understand how they work. I'm trying to work out a cure because at no point in the, I assume, like, 30 years he's been alive, he wasn't like, maybe I'll find a doctor. Maybe I'll find a blood expert that can maybe look into this blood virus.
Blade has many strengths.
Yes.
He is not doctor material.
No.
No, I feel like she also, because she's been bitten, she wants mainly to make a cure for herself.
Yeah, because her theory is like, she's... and that you have these two tiers as well within vampires, but with the Blade and the human... She's been turned, whereas he was born.
Yeah.
And it's the same, like, the vampires as well is like, well, they've been, the ones that have been turned versus the ones that have been born.
Yeah, the main bad guy is one that had been turned, because she's like, yeah, you've got a scar, you must have gotten that before you were a vampire.
Yeah, she basically calls him a little bitch for, being human.
Fake vampire.
Deacon has the best floppy 90s hair, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Deacon is the most 90s man I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like... Deacon Frost as well is a name.
Mm.
That's a hell of a name.
The real good, like, shitty comic book name.
He is one of... So Deacon Frost is the main villain. He is one of the vampire lords.
Yeah. Who all get their own unique tattoos.
Yeah, they have their own mark.
Yeah, because then they can tattoo their...
Like sex traffickers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. They tattoo their familiars so that if another vampire like bites their familiar, they can be like, "Oh, fuck you."
And all the vampire lords also get their own unique accent.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Most of them vaguely European. Some of them vaguely Slavic. That's about all of the accents the vampires are given.
I don't remember them talking, to be honest.
they talk a lot.
They talk a bit, but they're normally subtitled when they do.
Yeah.
They talk. Is it Latin that they speak in?
I have no idea.
Or like don't old know. Vampiric or something.
Old vampiric.
Well, they're trying to translate the ancient vampire text to bring back the blood god.
On a computer that I love, by the way, films at this point.
They've commissioned one animation and they play it like 12 times.
No, I like that there's a program that you press a key on and it just goes translating and has a bar for that.
Yeah. Yep.
That it's just filling out and then it's just like, translation complete.
It looks like complicated image recognition software where it's pulling the individual characters off the scanned in sheets of
skin, I imagine.
Yeah.
Skin, yeah, it's definitely human skin that's got blood. It's written in blood, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm wondering how the Duolingo owl knows that language, but you'll never know.
No, it's the bat Duolingo.
Yeah. Duolingo, but a bat. But a vampire bat. But they're like fucking. It's just like scanning a load of images.
Yeah.
And going translating from what into what, we don't know. Because what it does is it translates a load of a language that we never quite described into an animation.
Yeah.
Which killed me. I couldn't stop giggling at the thought of this AI machine program Anna spending what looks like years analysing words and converting them into a neat little animation.
Yeah, an animation that tells them, so the computer like translates it, understands the concept of what it's translating,
yeah,
and then makes that into an animation to show the vampires what to do to summon the old the vampire god.
The blood god.
Blood god.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? I mean, yeah, fuck it.
It makes sense for the film.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense for the film, Dan. Let's not lie.
It's kind of... It's brilliant like 90s techno babble that just isn't trying to make sense.
No, it's exactly. Not.
They're like, if there's a screen and we put something kind of computery on the screen, people will buy it. Like, people no one's going to think about it.
It's translating it directly from the mainframe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a bit where he pulls out a hard drive just straight from the computer.
Yeah, he rips a hard drive out of computer. I was like,
no, don't do that. Bad Wesley Snipes.
That
the translator is going to be so corrupted.
Yeah, that nice little animation that translator spent years working on.
That is not going to be any
ruined.
Good now.
It's ruined. Oh, man, you're just going to get an error page come up. It's going to be bad. But yeah, they're just... So the woman and Blade team up.
Yeah, so she's going to try and find a cure before she's turned, because they don't spell out how long it takes to turn, but then it's like, at the rate she's going, she has like a day or so.
Yeah, yeah. And then she doesn't turn for a couple of days.
Yeah, yeah. And
we can kind
I
of
really
forget
like
about
at the start when Whistler's injecting the serum into Bane, not Bane.
Bane.
different comic book. into Blade. And he's holding his hand at the same time.
Yeah.
And like helping him through it. It's really sweet.
Yeah.
As whenever I've had to have like local anesthetic, I've always had a nurse hold my hand.
Yeah.
When they inject the serum into you.
Yeah, to control my bloodlust. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's having trouble because he's are you also building up an immunity to the bloodlust? To the serum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you need is a Dr. Karen Jensen to help you make a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead try an anticoagulant that explodes blood.
Yeah. It kills people. Which they don't use enough. That feels like a super weapon against vampires, and they use it like twice.
They use it twice, and then, I mean, they do use it to absolutely fuck up the main bad guy at
That's
the end.
True.
So.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like it's very new, considering like the time frame for this film is like what, 3 days?
Yeah.
Fucking dip bullets in that shit. Like, I don't care. Mm. They only need a little bit.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were doing at first, just filling bullets with it.
It makes too much blood. It forces them to have too much blood in their body. And that seems to be
it
what
it turns them into
does.
Like full on hubba bubba chewing gum.
They look like something out of Spy Kids.
Yeah.
The animation is right from the first, just the skeletons when they're being it is it's worse than
Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
They're fine because they're quick. Like,
they're really
the
quick.
Vampire
yeah, they don't linger
pretty
on
quick.
Them.
They don't linger on any of the animations early on. It's only about halfway through where you start getting long animations.
Yeah. I do like they use a good amount of practical effects and stuff as well, though.
Yeah and then they use all the practical effects on Pearl.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Can we talk about... So they try and find... They need to find out where the translation's coming from.
Yeah,
coming from a vampire called Pearl.
Yeah. They do this by like chasing down a police officer who's actually a familiar. And they do a car chase, which is like sped up. It's not fast cars. It's just the footage is obviously sped up and it was terrible. But Blade's car, it's fucking sick.
Blade's car is amazing, but the chase scene is awful. It's like they clearly could they not get permission to speed or something on those streets? speed up.
When you film cars can be going real fast. When you film them, they look slow.
Yeah, I guess like, it's just not as refined as what we're used to.
No, because people worked out how to... You never see a car chase from a distance in a film, unless it's like really far. You never see like a mid shot of a car chase, because cars look slow when they're being filmed. We've learned to cut around it, but cars just look slow. So they might have been going really fast and they didn't realise. They went like, ah, shit.
It looks, no matter what they thought
oh, no,
was
it's
going
dire.
On with it,
It's dire.
It's a terrible car chase because it's not smooth. I guess we're used to. I think we're quite spoiled now. But even like older James Bonds and that, when they've done car chases, like you work around it. And this one, it's like, no, we'll just speed it up to make them look faster.
Yeah,
but they're jiggling sort of around like something.
It's got sort of handheld camera movement, so it's just very exaggerated.
Yeah,
it's got that early days of cinema, not quite the right speed.
Yeah,
well, it's like the people making it didn't have any experience making. Like, they didn't know all the things you shouldn't do when filming a car, like using steady.
Yeah,
like
you need a steady cam for that.
So if you are speeding the footage up, it won't look weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fucking bizarre.
Yeah, but then, yeah, they get to Pearl, who is just this.
Yeah, he's like in a basement of this. Yeah. Like, is it a Japanese club?
Yeah, it's a very weird Japanese club, and the entrance is like in a freezer.
Yeah,
and they've got these weird like Japanese schoolgirls singing, and it's very just.
It's very strange. Ugh.
And Wesley Snipes, just his plan is to go there.
Yeah.
They
go in there. They've got a big UV torch because UV light also kills vampires.
Which I love. He's like, oh, it's so heavy, and I'm just like, yeah, remember the days before LEDs?
Yeah.
Life would be so much. It'd be so easy to kill a vampire now.
Well, yeah, now you just fit some bloody daylight bulbs in your house.
Yeah. Oh.
And just nap with a blindfold on, they won't get near you.
Yeah. Just fucking get a tanning bed and just open.
Well, no, to be fair, yeah. he does go in the sun.
He does, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that's a great scene. I love when Frost's in the daylight.
Frost's
great.
In the
yeah.
sun.
Just tasty as fuck, because he's got loads of sun cream on.
There's more about that scene that I want to get to. Can we finish talking about Pearl and this?
Oh, yeah, so Pearl is this vile. He looks... I mean, I thought it was a girl, Pearl. Yeah. Well, one, because the name's Pearl.
Yeah.
But two, because of the enormous man boobs, because Pearl is more whale than...
And the voice.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
And it's just down there and doesn't move and watches in control of the translation.
Yeah, was watching this program translate into a nice animation. And it may have been down there making the animation, we don't know. Pearl is just this character that's kind of not needed.
Yeah, it's just one of them weird, like, oh, this is probably a design of something in the comic book that we can... Kind
was
of
it
make...
in the comic?
Probably.
People would have been furious if Pearl wasn't in the Blade film.
Yeah.
But
they torture Pearl with like the UV rays to get information from it, and then there's a door, and they manage to get into the archive room.
Yeah, considering Karen's a doctor that has definitely taken the Hippocratic Oath and everything, she is down to straight up torture Pearl. And she looks like she's enjoying it.
The doctor's in like is full on. Into the vampire story immediately.
Yeah. There's no questioning it. But to be fair, she did get bit by one, so...
But she goes from, like, vampires aren't real to I'm gonna kill these vampires immediately.
Yeah.
Her options are that or die.
True. But she kind of gets over the fear of killing vampires quite quickly.
Yeah. I think she's, for a 90s character literally called Karen, she's not bad.
No, she's quite a good character.
Like, she has a bit of autonomy, and she isn't always a damsel in distress. Like,
she
saves Blade.
Yeah, she's never really... The only time she's damsel in distress is at the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm.
She's never really it since.
When he... Great. Oh, yeah, right at the start when he yeets her out the window.
Yeah.
And the police just keep shooting at them, even though he's holding a doctor.
Yep.
Yeah. But the police are owned by the vampires.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's not just, you know, what American police normally do.
But yeah, she's black.
Yeah.
They both are.
Yeah,
exactly. Police is opening fire.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is when we find out about the Vampible.
Yep.
Blade takes that guy's hand off again.
It's displayed in this really nice way. For like a elaborate gallery installation where each panel is like between two pieces of glass and suspended from the ceiling.
I love
and they immediately
how it's...
destroy it.
No, I love how that scene is. That room is set up like it's this important piece of vampire history. Like, this is the vampire Bible.
Yeah, it's the only copy.
Any other film, they'd be like, this is on such fragile human skin. It is the only copy. We're not allowed to make copies of it. It is the Bible. This film, they're straight up like, it's smashed. The whole room is smashed.
Smash it all. Blow it up.
Immediately.
Yeah, because there's a vampire called Quinn, which is the one that got burnt at the start, and so he's like, he sort of sticks a couple of stakes in Blade's shoulders to try and be like, yeah, this is what you did to me earlier.
Well, you get the martial arts vampires who keep turning up whenever there needs to be a martial arts fight.
I mean, the fight scenes in this are pretty good, to be fair.
Fight scenes are great. The fight scenes are great. It's just funny that there's this set of vampires that never get killed because they need to be used later for more fight scenes. Every other vampire gets killed apart from these like six Asian guys who keep turning up whenever there needs to be fight scenes.
Yeah.
I love that. The entire, it's just great. They never get killed. It's wonderful.
No. But yeah, Abe ends up kind of like exploding in, shoots everyone. They escape into like the train subway tunnels.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated this bit.
It was weird. It was a
I don't know about you, Mikey, but growing up like near a train station where like going to a school where like at least a third of the kids took the train to school, we regularly had the don't walk on the tracks talk or you will die.
Yeah, you had train safety conversations, like things in class constantly.
Did you have that at your school, Dan?
Not really, but I kind of knew not to. There's not as many trains in that up in Coventry.
Yeah, I was going to say it was. I don't know if that's like local to us or was like if every kid gets the has to watch like the traumatic video, and then we were told really visceral stories about like kids being like literally they find like the head on one side of the tracks and the body on the other side.
Yep.
Oh, they had that for us with like a driving safety thing. They're like, here's a picture of a van that's crashed and the guy's legs are in the car and his body's over there. And I'm like, I wonder why I don't want to learn to drive.
Yeah. Yeah, we had that with trains. And it was
also quicksand.
You'd watch that and then you'd have to get the train home.
Yeah.
Yeah. You watch so much stuff about because they're like, don't touch the third rail.
Yeah, because we still have the fucking third rail in Kent as well. Because why not? Okay? Who needs trains when it's wet?
There was
snowing
also like
in England.
Yeah, there was also like that the thing. I don't know if you had this, but there was that thing of like because it's countryside and there are just train tracks that go through like woodland.
Yeah, how to cross a train track safely.
Yeah, there's also
at
like
a point.
If you're not paying attention, you can just end up on a train track and not realize it.
Yeah, easier to do in a car. Like some of the ones near our school that were like, on just crossing country lanes.
Yeah.
And it'd be like you had to call and ask if there was a train coming and then you could cross. Once they were like, no train.
Because there was just a load of videos where it was like, don't like always pay attention because you could just step out onto a train track and have no. We had a lot of train safety shit.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I think, trains are pretty loud, though. You'd think you'd hear them coming. But
no.
Yeah.
You don't,
I suppose if,
and you're wearing headphones.
If the bus from Mean Girls is anything to go by, then...
That driver deserves to be imprisoned. I don't know if that reaction from Ilona was, like, baked in fear from all of this cool stuff. But you just go in, trains are loud, you don't have to be pay that much attention. It's like, no, Dan, actually, I think you'll fight. Trains are actually quite dangerous, Dan. Here, let me show you these 45 videos.
Hey, I love that train safety.
Hey, I love that train safety.
No, I'm sure they're on YouTube, and I'm sure like they'll be really shit to watch.
Yeah, but they do the train scene.
Yeah, Quinn gets his arm cut off again, and his face smashed into the train. And
That bit I enjoyed. That I thought was really funny.
It was a like less visceral version of Invincible.
But they
his face gets like absolutely shredded on just the side, and they don't really show it, so you just see his like front face come a bit loose.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then at the end, it's a very long train, and then they just jump onto the back of it as well.
Yeah, I love that as well, just because Karen at the time is like, "No, we are not fucking doing," and he's just like, "Yunk!"
Yeah, and then they get on the train, and no one on the train cares, which is the most accurate.
Well, there doesn't seem to be anyone on the train. It's like the last carriage.
I imagine.
Yeah, the last carriage
up.
Is empty, but when he's smashing his face against it, there's very obviously points where there are people inside of the train.
Yeah.
Imagine you're sitting on the train on the way home from work, and suddenly you just see a guy's face in the window for a split second in a tunnel.
Like, I am not pressing emergency stop. I need to get home.
Keep that shit to yourself, and you don't make eye contact. No one comments, and you don't make eye contact.
To be fair, I probably wouldn't have noticed.
I think if I was a tunnel and I saw a face for a split second, I'd just think that I was seeing things.
Yeah,
long day at work. I mean, I don't normally see people. I'd see, like, spreadsheets.
Scary.
Ooh, spooky vampire spreadsheets. but yeah, they've just fucking... And I forgot what happens next. This film's so fast.
Well, isn't it then we have the... They go back to their lab, and then they go to meet Hairdo. What's his name?
Deacon. Yeah,
Deacon. Frost.
Frost. Yeah.
Oh no! This is where you find out Whistler has cancer. Yeah. Karen's got a couple of days before she turns, and then Blade is just outside and sees Deacon holding a child.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Out there with a child.
The best scene, because he fucking eats that child.
Do you know what?
It teases that they're gonna yeet the child for so long though.
Do you know what the best thing about that scene is, though? What? Well, there's three good things about that scene. Number one,
is the
child. Yeeting the child is great. Number two, the argument that the reason why Deacon can be out in the sun is because he's just got a shit ton of sunscreen on.
Yeah, he's so pale.
He's just dripping in sunscreen.
He does look greasy.
Yeah.
It's so incredibly stupid, because it makes him so much less intimidating. When you'd be like, oh, he'd be so slippery.
Oh, yeah, it's like, oh, you're trying to be really scary, but you smell like coconut.
Yeah,
that's the real reason Blade can't kill him, is because every time he tries to, he slides past him.
He's so slippery. And the third best thing about that scene is that, ultimately, this is two guys, one of them greased up in sunscreen, and the other guy in... all black leather trench coat with a sword, fucking weeb guy, just in a park somewhere.
No one reacts to him.
But they're in a park somewhere, mumbling at each other from across the two ends of the park.
Yeah, I can't tell you what the dialogue was in this section.
No idea what they were saying. I love that idea so much that no one interrupted them.
Yeah. And then he throws the child. Like, whose parents? Like, the parents of that child have not tried to look at all.
I don't think the parents are there.
No.
No.
I think the child's intercepted on the way home from school or something.
They tried to stop him, but he was too greased up.
Yeah.
He was too slippery with all that sunscreen. That scene ends because he's sweating the sunscreen off.
Yeah. And so he has to throw the child and run. And then Blade's doing something, and then goes back to...
We have the Matrix bullet dodge as well, although it's less cool because it's not the Matrix, and also
bullet dodge,
so...
then yeet child. Yeah.
Vampire
bullet dodge
speed yeet.
In your sunscreen.
Yeah.
He didn't even need to dodge. The bullets would simply slide off his greasy skin.
greasy skin.
If it can block lethal sunlight, it can probably block bullets. Yeah.
Can you imagine a police call at the end of that? It's like, this guy started shooting. What was he doing? Well, he was in all black, and he was kind of just stood there mumbling, whilst this other guy, who was greased up, was mumbling back. And then he just opened fire.
And so he threw a child.
What happened? I don't know. Oh, I love that scene so much. That's such a microcosm of Blade.
Yeah, because after this is then Deacon finds out where Blade's lair is. And when Blade returns, Karen's been kidnapped and Whistler is, like, bleeding out.
And manages to mumble something at the end.
Yeah, he's like, give me a gun so I can shoot myself before I turn. And they also find out that he's trying to resurrect the Blood God.
I think you'll find what Whistler says is,
Blade, your blood is the key. You're a half vampire.
You're the chosen one.
But then Blade kind of gets ready to go and fight a fuckload of vampires. He makes loads of anticoagulant syringes and silver bullets and stuff.
He does what? Sorry, you kept breaking up then, and I heard he's getting ready to fight a fuckload of vampires in jizz.
Oh, I heard syringes.
Okay. Yeah, syringes. Yeah, he gets the anticoagulant syringes. Yeah.
Yep. I heard in jizz. I don't remember that scene.
Is
that why he was all greased up?
Yeah. It's not sunscreen.
Great sunscreen. Great UV protection.
But anyway, Blade just flies in on a motorbike, starts shooting loads of people, and then they taser Blade, and Blade's mum's there.
I love that Frost is like, why am I hearing gunshots? Don't shoot him.
Yeah, because Blade is alive.
Blade is a vampire, and at no point does it even suggest that bullets hurt vampires.
Like regular bullets, no. Also, does he not think that maybe Blade is shooting at them?
Yeah, Blade.
Blade has done several times in the past.
Yeah, but he's got his sword.
I guess it's like Blade can die, and he's got that mortality, and he can bleed, but he also has the vampire. Like he heals really quickly.
Hmm.
Yeah,
because he's not like immortal in that if you shoot him through the chest, he'll be fine. It's if you shoot him through the chest, get the bullet out, and get him like get the bleeding to stop, he'll be fine.
We fucking forgot a great scene, and that is true. Like he isn't immortal. He's just like hard to kill. Mm. We forgot a great scene where Frost is killing one of the like vampire lords by putting him out in the sun.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, and they're all wearing motorcycle gear.
Wearing motorcycle helmets. I'm just like, that's such a funny. This film really was like, let's think of as many ways as possible we can make them survive.
Yeah.
The sun,
like, big umbrella.
Turn up, yeah. We've got sunscreen. Tick. Daft Punk. Tick.
Big umbrella.
Parasol. Save that for the next one.
Just carrying a massive parasol. It's so funny. Oh man, that's great. Just a load of vampires in public with a gazebo.
They find it really difficult to get, like, put the gazebo up in time. They've got to hammer the little stakes into the ground, but they're terrified.
Scary. It's really scary. But it's the only way they can meet up as a group outside.
We find out that Deacon is the vampire that bit Blade's mum, and Blade's mum is alive and still a vampire and an evil vampire.
Yeah, in the worst bed I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He has a bed that, like, puts you in a capsule and then lifts you up.
It's not a good-looking bed at all.
It looks so uncomfortable. Yeah. And it's always full of steam and smoke. Mm. It's always full of mist.
I mean, the bed's upsetting, but the mum is more upsetting.
Oh, yeah, the mum is.
I think because they're trying to do, like, MILF vibes, but when the only other character in the scene is her son, that does not work.
Yeah.
No.
It's very icky. Very, very, very icky.
And she's just like, and we don't know enough about her to be like bothered.
Yeah, because we don't build, the only thing we know about is that she's Blade's mum. And we thought she was dead, but she'd actually been turned.
Yeah, and that's it. And he doesn't really seem to care that much.
Yeah. He's like,
it's obviously a long time ago because, I mean, I cannot tell what age Wesley Snipes is playing in this.
Yeah, no. Wesley Snipes not... is...
Well, it was the first scene was 1967 and then it went to 1998, okay. So 31, if my math is right.
Okay. Like, yeah, no, like, he doesn't know who is... Like, it's so... We don't care, really, who his mum is. The most we've seen of her is a single flashback.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we see the same flashback twice.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, because Blade's then very shocked, and then literally shocked, because they capture him. And
but
then...
she, like, kisses him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't full-on snog him, but, like...
Oh, no, it's weird.
It's... Yeah, I didn't...
Vampires are the most bisexual of all monsters.
Yeah, there's that scene where, like, Deacon, like, kills the familiar guy, like, drinks his blood, and then starts making out with the other vampire, and they've just got blood on their mouths, and it was disgusting.
They're the most horny of all monsters,
satyrs.
Satyrs are more like a fairy tale creature.
Yeah, they're mythical.
Out of, like, monster movie monsters, vampires are definitely the most horny.
Yeah, well, it's because of the whole, like, they seduct people. Seduct? Seduce.
Seduct. No, seduct.
Yeah.
They subtract people.
Because they are seductive and seduce people. I know English. I've got a degree in English.
Yeah. And Russian. But we
can't talk good. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, that old chestnut.
Yeah, there's a reason we're doing a movie podcast.
Yeah. But not a language podcast.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, like, yeah, they're just very, very horny monsters. Mm.
But it's the kinky. But this isn't even kinky. This is just weird incest.
Yep. It's weird. Oh, it's very weird.
She does look quite similar to Karen as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that did confuse me for a second because I'd kind of, you know, we'd know about the mum, but we'd kind of forgotten. But I thought they'd somehow captured Karen.
And turned her into a full vampire.
And she turned in that time and
there is a
switched.
Moment.
But then, because, like, we've only seen her mum's face twice. And, like, it's totally different as well. We see her having just had a C-section covered in blood and sweaty and on the operating table in scrubs. Yeah. And then we see her, like, you know,
normal,
fully made up.
Horny
with, like,
vampire mode.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, what's going on?
And, vampires wear so much leather. They don't
flesh.
Have to go with that aesthetic.
Yeah, but it works for them. You've got to give them
that. That's true. I guess if you're that pale, you're kind of limited on what colour choices.
Although, I did like, in the rave scene at the start, everyone's wearing either all black or all white, and then obviously the ones in white get absolutely drenched in blood.
Yep. That is good. That just happened in Germany. That's just a German nightclub. But yeah, the mum thing is fucking bizarre. As like a choice to make.
Mm.
Like, see her being sexy. If they want to make her sexy, see
with,
her being sexy
with
someone
Frost.
Else. With
Frost.
With Frost. Like,
that
would still be icky.
More intense.
Because it's like, oh, it's Wesley Snipes' mum. But you don't have the ickiness of her being, like, so close to his mouth.
That's icky and, like, oh, Frost is a villain.
And it's like, I get that Wesley Snipes is in shock. Blade. Just... We can call him Blade if you want.
It's such a weird scene. Yeah. A weird thing to add to the film that really didn't need to be. It doesn't add anything.
It's like a very much worse and abrupt version of Back to the Future.
Yeah.
it just doesn't add anything to the film.
No.
Other than, I don't know, it doesn't even add, doesn't even make you feel more, like, involved. It's just weird. Weird.
Like, but, damn, his mum's hot, but ugh.
Yeah,
she doesn't. And he stabs her. She's
You couldn't
kill me, your mummy.
Later, that's
well, that's a bit late because so he gets captured because he's distracted by his mum. So he gets captured, put into the thing because they can then drain his blood to resurrect the blood god.
Yeah, thankfully we know what's going to happen because they show us like the animation about 12 times.
Yeah,
luckily that animation was really, really specific.
Yeah, it was pretty spot on.
Surprisingly accurate.
Karen is like thrown into a pit with her now sort of vampire bloodlusty ex-boyfriend, and she manages to just stab him with a bone and climb out.
He doesn't actually seem that much of a threat.
No.
He's kind of he's a bit messed up from
he's
the being
mad.
Turned. Yeah.
Like, he's clearly like just not had blood and just been left in a hole. But he doesn't seem like... He seems like he's just kind of lost. I feel a bit sorry for him.
Yes, he's just been thrown into this pit so that later on Karen can be thrown into that pit as well.
Yeah. I guess, he absolutely lacks the context that she has for the situation. So I think it makes sense that he's a bit lost.
Yeah, but she managed to break Blade out, but it's too late. The blood already drips down onto...
Onto the vampires in waiting. Yeah. Well, there's like a circle of vampire elders.
Oh yeah, and they all get the drips on them, and then
all have vampire.
They have the cool gargoyle shoot out of them.
We'll get to the fucking ending of this. Yeah. This is where the film starts to go a bit off the rails.
Yep. Blade kills his. Oh, Karen's like, here. You've drained of blood. Drink some of my blood.
Drained
to...
my blood. And then we have the most uncomfortable.
Yeah, that scene went for
25
way too long.
To 30 minutes of this film. Where it's cut between the blood dripping on the vampires' heads.
Yeah.
And
then they're getting
the,
electrocuted.
Not even that. The blood, like, forming on the dome at the top of the thing before it falls onto Frost, who is stood in the middle of these, like, vampires with blood on them. It's cutting between that and, like, the same 2 to 3 shots of Blade drinking blood. Because it's the same, like, three shots repeated.
Yeah, it is it kind of hot, though.
It goes on for so... And they, like, these weird jerking motions.
I guess you think that he's lost control and he's just going to kill her.
Well, I thought the jerking motions were, like, the heartbeat. Like, if she's, like, pulsing blood into his mouth.
Oh, I thought it was her dying.
But it's got, like, sex scene vibes.
It's the... like horny sex vampire side, horny vampire sex. Drinking someone's blood is ultimately very intimate.
True. I don't know, actually.
Not tried it.
When I did it, it wasn't that intimate.
Well, that's because you only drink strangers' blood.
Oh, I'm not going to drink a friend's blood. That's. Have you ever tried... I don't want to ask people to get me, like, a coffee when they go out. I don't want to ask to drink their blood. That'd be awkward.
Oh my god, you starve to death as a vampire because you're too polite to ask anyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an uncomfortable scene that feels like it goes on for 30 to 40 minutes.
That goes on for ages, and then Blade just immediately kills his mum.
Yeah, it goes on for ages.
He kills Quinn so quick as well.
we see the vampire, like, his very much vampire side comes out in full.
Yeah. He becomes a fully vicious Blade, yeah.
I think
his
what bothers
eyes
me...
are bright.
I think what bothers me about that scene so much is it's so long and so much time and effort is put onto it. I say effort, it's the same three shots over and over again. And there's no consequences to it other than he's strong now.
Yeah, he's strong and she's not weaker. She still manages to, like, get the shotgun and fight quite well.
She's the exact same as she was before he bit her. Like, it's not like
she was a bit weaker, I prefer that, though, rather than her suddenly being something he has to save.
I don't know. I guess so, I think if you lost most of your blood very quickly, you'd at least be a bit woozy.
I donate my blood and it's fine.
Is it forcibly removed from you by a vampire tongue teeth?
I mean, that's how I imagine it.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, she only shoots a couple of people, and then when they try and do the needed in the 90s girl fight, she does just immediately spray garlic into the Thorn's mouth.
Oh, my favorite
girl
fight breaks out, and then you have the ultimate girl fight of this type of film, which is oddly specific but also happens so often, is normal girl, underpowered girl fighting much stronger, more well-trained girl with maybe superpowers dressed in white.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's very specific, and it's so common that they're, like, dressed in white.
Yeah. But yeah, she ends up just immediately spraying the garlic spray into her mouth, and her head explodes. And then it's, after killing all the little side vampires, it's Blade versus Deacon.
Well, he finally gets to kill the Asian vampires.
Yeah.
They turn up again here, and he fights them again, whilst fighting all the other vampires.
Yeah. So he's sort of fighting Deacon. At one point, he, like, cuts Deacon in half, and, like, he just kind of immediately heals because he's the blood god now.
That scene was so funny. Yeah.
And the arm regrowing as well. Like,
this is now where the CG takes over, because before this, there were flying vampire bat.
When all the blood's finally come through and the electricity starts, all the blood that has dripped down onto them, like, is the conductor for this electricity. Yeah. So it looks like one of those, like, the inside of one of those old science toys that you could get where you put your fingers on it?
Yeah, a big thingy coil. Yeah. A plasma ball.
Cool. Yeah, that's what they're called. That's I'm glad you didn't leave it as thingy.
Plasma ball. That's like Tesla coil. That's not a Tesla coil. Plasma ball. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's stupid.
Yeah, they have weird, bone gargoyles fly out of them, and then they all fly into Deacon, so he's now the
into
blood
Deacon,
god.
With his glowing eyes.
Yeah.
Still mumbling, though.
Oh, yeah.
Still can't talk at a normal volume.
So they have a pretty fucking sick sword fight.
Do they? Is it?
Well, it's like movie good. Like,
that's
you know.
True. But there's
it's
so
entertaining.
There is so much just shit CGI.
The CGI at this point is funny.
But
in my opinion.
Cuts his arm off and it flies off and just kind of disintegrates. Cuts him in half and he kind of reforms.
The arm reforming
bit is amazing though, because he cuts him in half and he, like, the two bits go flying, but the blood stays there and then it just sort of sucks back
just seals
together.
Back. Yeah, that bit's good. But then when it's got the close up of the blood just forming a new arm, That was definitely like, ooh.
So bad.
But then after fighting, Blade ends up just throwing a shitload of the anticoagulant things.
We forgot the anticoagulant scene where she discovers that anticoagulants make vampire blood explode.
Yeah. And he thinks, oh yeah, Deacon thinks it's the serum, so he throws it, and then it's conveniently in a place that Blade can use it during this fight.
He manages to, like, he yeets his sword up there.
Yeah.
And because the sword still has its booby trap set.
Yeah, it dislodges it.
Yeah.
And then he throws them all, and then you get a line, I would say, better than the Toad line from X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
The best fucking line in movie history. Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill, and then he just fucking explodes.
It's nonsense. It's utter nonsense at that point.
I knew that was a quote from. I knew it was a quote from Blade. It doesn't make sense where it is in the movie.
What does that mean? Yeah, I remember hearing that line and being like, "The fuck does that mean? What the hell is that?"
Like, it would make sense if it was just, like, oh, he's doing this guy's only interested in doing it the hard way. But, like, that's not what's going on in this. Like, that's not what happened.
Well, you know, some sort of blood joke because the blood god is now having too much blood and explodes very viscerally.
So much quicker. Blood for the blood god. Like, something. Yeah. No. Yeah. Fucking.
Take your medicine, bitch. Because, like, the dialogue, it's like, stems from, like, really good but random lines like that.
Yeah. That was not good.
So, like, yeah, like, the motherfucker, are you out of your damn mind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, you better wake up. The world you live in is just sugar-coated topping.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're, like, in context. They're always in context, and they make sense. Motherfuckers always trying to ice skate uphill in, other than, like,
like, it's a good way of saying they're just choosing the hard way, I guess.
But at no point do they choose the hard way.
No.
Yeah.
Like, they are not choosing the hard way to do anything. There's very clearly an animation showing that this is the only way to do it.
Yeah. But yeah, after he explodes, Blade and Karen manage to get out into the sunlight. And he's like, don't make me a cure, because I've still got vampires to kill, but you can make me a better serum.
Shit to do.
It cuts to Moscow.
Yeah. Using that Russian degree here, guys. I didn't need those subtitles.
There's a Russian vampire, and you get the amazing cut to credits of Blade just fucking taking his sword out, about to charge, and then it just cuts. It, like, in the good way of this happening, not the shit way of Amazing Spider-Man.
He just kind of says, comrade, and then he launches himself at him.
Well, I guess it's the idea that in Russia they don't know about Blade.
Yeah.
But also, he went to Russia to find motherfuckers trying to ice skate uphill.
I mean, Russia's probably one of those places where you would find that.
Yeah, that's where he went there.
It was actually a sequel tease line.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, the just point at which it cuts to credits of just the music hits, it's Wesley Snipes as Blade just comes up, like... Just...
Blade is the ultimate, like, 90s action movie. Like, every 90s action movie trope, it's got techno, it's got big black coats, it's got blood, it's got, like, gore. German rave scene, it's got gore, it's got one-liners, it's dark, everyone mumbles.
Everyone's saying, there's, motherfucker.
There's a guy much sunscreen.
There's, like, literal, like, boss music whenever there's going to be a fight.
Yeah, there's a guy in so much... sunscreen.
I'm so glad I watched this film.
I have so much fun watching it. Like, it's bad, but in such a good way.
Where did Frost get his samurai sword?
And I guess because it's the because it's the first one of its not the first one of its kind, but it's like, I guess it's one of the first to do this and shape this genre. I forgive it. I'm just Blade.
This film saved Marvel. Like, this and them selling the rights to Spider-Man saved Marvel in the 90s.
Well, and yet they went fucking down. They didn't stick to this style. I'd have loved it if fucking any of the Marvel movies were like this. It'd be great.
Yeah, like the Blade movie they're still trying to make now, if they, you know, made it like this.
I'd love it if they made it like this. Where did Frost get his katana from?
Next door to where he got all of his sunscreen from.
But like
he went to one of the nice Japanese
vampires gave it to him as a present.
It would have been great if he was like, "I've replicated your sword."
Yeah, the blade from Blade.
Yes, I've made it the other blade, and that would have been fine. Blade too. No, he's got a I have a blade too. I'd have watched that. That should have been the ending line. That bothered me. Just where did he get it from?
Yeah, Forbidden Planet. Yeah, this sounds in great. New York. Yeah.
This sounds great.
Did this hold, like, considering you're the one that saw it the most, did it hold up to you?
This film is high camp.
Mm.
This film is high camp at its like edgiest. And I love that. I love that how campy it is. It's
it's simple in that it like that it's not really trying to do anything groundbreaking with the plot.
No.
Or
the acting or the script. Well, no. The only thing groundbreaking is how far away from the context can we get the dialogue?
How irrelevant can we get the dialogue to what's going on screen? And it still look cool. Doesn't even have to sound cool because we clearly do not care about how quiet the dialogue is.
Because we don't know how close. But
yeah, I did enjoy it. I was waiting for the mouth out of the mouth thing, and I realised, oh, that's a different Blade film.
Yep, that's Blade Trinity.
Yeah,
I believe. Or they're introduced in Blade 2.
Yeah, I think it's introduced in Blade 2, and then it's like all vampires in Blade 3, and maybe animals too.
Yeah, there's dogs.
I remember it being like, isn't there like a chihuahua or something? I don't know. But anyway, I had a really good time. I'm really glad I watched it because it's the first time as like an adult for sure that I've watched Blade 1.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a good time. And it's, yeah, because it's not dark and gritty and sad. It's just
dark and gritty and happy and goofy. It's dark and gritty and goofy. That's what it is.
So yeah, I think I'd give this, I don't know, 8 irrelevant one-liners out of 10.
I think the same. I think I'd go 8 motherfuckers trying to ice skate uphill.
I'm definitely a solid 8 yeeted children by a greasy man.
8 greased up vampires.
8 bottles of sunscreen that Deacon has put on before any scene. Yeah.
If you haven't watched it in a while, have a blast. This is a like a really perfect like Halloween film as well for people who don't scary. If they don't want to go down the scary route.
Oh yeah, because it's like you don't have to concentrate too much on the plot or anything.
You really don't.
No. You can be like, oh, these are the really cool, fun scenes, and then whatever, and then
Just an I want to enjoy this film.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
It's goofy. It's a goofy mess.
It's a gooey mess.
It is
a bloody gooey mess.
The way they explode is so. And like the ending when he explodes.
Oh god, it's
he
so
just.
Dumb.
Oh my god, he looks kind of like scrotal. If you needed to go to the hospital.
He looked like A&E scrotal injury.
Yeah.
That's what he's giving.
Yeah. The. True enemy of Blade is testicular torsion.
No, I think Blade was well on its side. It was doing him a favour.
Yeah.
The true enemy of Blade is enunciation.
Well, I guess with that,
as you know, the true enemy of Blade is a greased up vampire. Hey, I've been Michael.
I've been Helen.
You can find this podcast on social media at Hilton Pod. That's at HILTM Pod. We're on Discord as well. If you want to come and chat to us, let us know when did you last see Blade? How hard is it to ice skate uphill?
Yeah.
When was the last time you went ice skating? Tell us.
To ice skate uphill.
Yeah. For the Patreon, are we going to use the money to make ice skates that go uphill easily? Or sunscreen for vampires?
Well, no, I had two options. One is we're going to create a skating experience which is all uphill. It's just all uphill.
Like an ice skating treadmill.
Yeah, all uphill.
It's like the opposite of a ski. Like you've got to climb a mountain with your skis on and then you get on the ski lift back down.
It's the opposite of a screw. You have to sit on one of those like seats that carry you back down.
Yeah.
No fun allowed. it's either that or gonna remake the MCU in this style.
Nice.
Everyone's gonna get bad lines of dialogue.
I want to see Thor really angry and wearing leathers.
Yeah. The tiniest glasses.
And so much sun cream on. Yes, and the tiny glasses.
Tiny, weeny glasses.
I'm really glad that that hasn't come back fully yet. Like, glasses fashion is changing, and I'm worried. Yeah. But it hasn't got back to tiny glasses just yet.
Tiniest wraparound shades. That's all I want.
Because it only ever ends up making you look like you can be Albus Dumbledore, Blade, yeah, or a Nazi.
I saw someone wearing those like tiny wraparound shades, and it genuinely shocked me. Like, it was a couple of days ago. I was like, ha!